One tradition we have at Mosaic House Church is to memorize verses. The idea, again, is to know and see Jesus anew through his word. So the memory verse from last week is Romans 8, 16 to 17. What is the S? Spirit. The T? Testifies. O? Our. S? Spirit. We are. C? Children. Another C? I guess all the C's are children, right? H? Heirs. Nice. Let's say it together if we can. Romans 8, 16 to 17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. It's co-heirs, not children. Sorry about that. The new memory verse today is Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. Let's say it together. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10, 9 to 10. Children, thanks for being so patient. You are dismissed downstairs. We're going through our series, Jesus on the Move. And like I mentioned earlier, we're going to look at our ability to see. If you can get that thing set up, Nathan. How well can you see? How well can you perceive things, see things as they actually are? It's not always easy. I want to do a little bit of a game. These tiles will reveal a picture. So how about on this side, pick a number, and I want you, after you reveal the tile, I want you to guess what the image is. Over here, anybody, any number you want to guess. Seven. Let's see what seven is. Ooh, what do you think it is? A cloud, okay, that's part of it. Okay, middle section. 21. What do you think it is? Jesus. Okay, let's go over this side. Pick a number. 25. Okay, what do you think it is? Okay, one more on the middle again. 28. Okay, over here again. 16. Yes, it's the giant Pasenka. There we go. Now, good job, guys. Well done. Give your applause. It took a while to get there, though, hey? If we didn't get the classic kind of pattern, if we only got the edges, it'd be probably hard to know what it is, right? If somebody got down here and saw that little red man, they might think, ooh, scary, we're in trouble. Someone saw in the clouds, so it's like, oh, just the sky, something different. But we didn't really see it until we found that right tile. Or until, if you guys didn't get it quite yet, you saw the whole picture. But I think sometimes we trust in our ability to see too much. And we can't admit it when we don't really know what we see. A couple weeks ago, Marcelo brought the message of a story about Jesus, his disciples, and then these Pharisees, religious leaders. And his main message was, Jesus reveals himself to us. Are we ready to see him? And if you look in, we're going to look at Mark chapter 8 today. In Marcelo's section, it said, had the word in Greek see twice. And then in this section I'm about to read, it has the word see four times. Jesus is really, and the gospel writer Mark is really telling us, what do you see? What is going on? And can you really trust what you see? Do you really understand? And the whole purpose of Mark is to tell us who Jesus really is. And this section, and hopefully this whole time today, is kind of asking us the question, do we really see Jesus for who he really is? Or are we only seeing parts of Jesus? The sky. Maybe you only see one part of the Pashenka egg. Oh, that's pretty nice. But you look at the whole thing, wow. And if we're going to there in person, it's a lot different, isn't it? We see it in a new way. So I encourage you to open, let's open our hearts and minds to what Jesus wants us to say today to us. So if you have your Bibles, and we also have a sermon outline you can follow. There's a QR code, should be in front of you there. Or if you're online, you can look on the website. We're going to look at Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 22, down to verse 30. Hear the word of the Lord. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then the eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come before you in just thankfulness for being here, thankfulness for coming as a human, for living a life which shows us the good way to live, the good path. And Lord, I pray now that when we're on the path, sometimes we get used to it maybe, or sometimes we're trusting in our own ability to see. Help us to see you for who you are, Jesus, today, who you want us to see. And help us to put our trust in you, the one who heals our sight, and the only one in whom there is salvation, peace, hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes, this is the theme and goal. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. Pretty simple. Because Jesus is I am, we say, I see. How about say it together? Because Jesus is I am, we say, I see. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you see Jesus as? This is Mark's central question. Is he a good teacher? A prophet? Liar? Lunatic? Lord? There is a story, a very interesting story in North America, where the indigenous peoples of the Paiute tribe, or the Paiute tribe, around California, Idaho, Oregon, Utah, Arizona, there was a rumor going around that a Messiah had come. Someone that will come and save the people. Someone that would bring right relationships. And they had this kind of prophecy that yonder in the west, there was a sacred man who talked to the Great Spirit in a vision. And the Great Spirit told him how to save the peoples and make the bad people disappear and bring back all the bison and the people who were dead. And how there would be a new earth. And there was a man named Black Elk there. Very interesting character. And he wasn't sure about this Messiah figure. He wasn't sure who he was. And one of the names that this Messiah went by was John. That's a nice name. John the Woodcutter. Another name, Wanikia. Another name was Jesus. And this Black Elk didn't know who he was. Didn't really believe. What's this Messiah talk? They didn't really have that in indigenous culture, the idea of a Messiah. Well, as we learn from memory verse today, those of us who believe in Jesus believe that he is the Lord. And if you know the Lord, I mean, in Kyrios in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, there's also the word the Lord, but has anybody noticed something different about those words, the Lord, in the Old Testament? They're all capitalized, yes. And that is based on the name of God, I Am. When the peoples ask God, what is your name? God said, I am that I am. You can't even describe me. All I can say is, I am. And Jesus claims to be I Am, the Lord, the creator of all the heavens of the earth. Now, even for us who know Jesus, have experienced Jesus as the Lord, we only see Jesus partially. Because we haven't seen him yet in his fullness. We're still here on earth. And because of that, sometimes our visions or ideas of Jesus maybe aren't the true Jesus. Do we see Jesus as the Lord of our hearts, as the one who guides and leads us, who knows what's best for us? Or do we see Jesus as a distant God we only go to, we only pray to when we're in trouble or when we're in need? Do we see Jesus as a loving helper? Or do we expect him? He's going to strike us down the moment that we make a mistake. Or do we see Jesus as someone, oh yeah, I saved you, do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. He's there to support and cheer you on. How do you see Jesus? Jesus reveals himself to us. Are we ready to see him? That was what the message was a couple weeks ago, but Jesus reveals himself to us. Are we even able to see him when he is right in front of us? We're going to look at this main theme, because Jesus is I Am, we say, I see, through 2 points. And the first one is kind of the trouble we're facing. You can write this in your notes. Is that we trust in our ability to see, even though we only see partially. It's said that the greatest religion we have today in our world is, do you know what it is? What's that? Ourselves, yes, that's close. Self-righteousness, being right. When we think we're right, we feel, wow, I have found the right way to see the world. You feel so confident in yourself, like I finally figured out what is right. And that means everybody else is wrong. And it's hard to admit when we are wrong. It's hard to acknowledge that other people have good points too. It's hard to admit that we don't see the whole picture of things and that our way of seeing is limited. It's so easy to trust in our own ability to see. Now let's look at the scripture. Let's look back to the story. 8 Verse 24. It says here, after Jesus kind of first touches him, he says, I see people and they look like trees walking around. Now, to do this, Jesus had to spit on his face. We're not really exactly sure why, but it probably was, like I mentioned, a traditional remedy that we use. Natalie is part of our kind of house church plant, if you know her, and the Caribbean West Indians, their remedy is Vicks, vapor rub. They use it for everything, right? Yeah, if Jesus came today, he'd be like, oh, okay, I'll use the vapor rub on your face. Ah, yeah, heal you, yeah. So it's just, he's just, and also it's Jesus uses the things of creation for healing. And we don't know why this man says he sees trees. Maybe he had sight before and he knew what a tree was. But let's think about this, okay? How close is a human to a tree? Like, how close are we? How good is this guy's eyesight? If he comes in, okay, come into the room. Choose the human, not the tree. Would that be hard for you? How are we similar? It's taller than me even. We're brown skin-ish, maybe? We got similar brown heights? I don't know. I don't have any green. My hair is similar? I don't know. He looks like trees. What are you talking about? This guy's sight was so bad, he couldn't even tell the difference between a tree and a human. But I think Mark is doing something very interesting here. You can write this in your notes. Mark is making a parallel between the man who is blind physically and the disciples who are blind spiritually. That's a huge theme of what Marcel spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Now, Jesus could have healed the person who's blind in an instant. Instead, he takes his time. He takes the man outside of town, spits on him, and then he touches the man's eyes. There is a slow progression and process between the man being blind and then him fully seeing. And then the section ends with verse 26, and we'll just read it together here. 8 verse 26 says, Jesus sent him home saying, do not even go into the village. And the purpose was, this is a theme in Mark, don't tell anybody what happened. If you're going to go to the village, everyone's going to find out what happened because they all know you were blind. So don't even go in the village. And what's interesting, the second story that we read ends in a similar way. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And what Mark is doing is making this comparison. And Pastor Victor says, when there is repetition, we pay attention. Mark is making a direct link between these stories. Now, let's go back to this story in verse 27. Let's go now read the second story again. Jesus and the disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answers, you are the Messiah. Now, interesting, both sections start by mentioning a town. The first section is they're in Bethsaida, which is a very Jewish place, kind of by the Sea of Galilee. And then Philippi is way up north, and it's mostly for non-Jewish people or Gentiles. And then in both scenes, Jesus asks them a question about what they see or perceive. And like the man who is blind, the disciples, and especially Peter, is beginning to see the truth about Jesus, but he is not fully there yet. You can write this in your notes. The trees that Peter sees are the prophets like John and Elijah, but Jesus is someone beyond his ability to see. Like the man who's blind, the disciples compare Jesus to things that they know, prophets. And even Peter goes far to declare Jesus as a Messiah. Now, this actually was a very common word used, an anointed one, people that are called by God to do a specific task. And there were many messiahs in the day of old, like the prophets, like Elijah, like John. And Peter is saying, you are a Messiah like these other trees. But Mark's saying, the comparison is so bad. Jesus to the prophets is like humans to trees, apples to kangaroos, Canadians to Americans. Okay, that's debate. It was so ridiculous. There is barely any correction, but that is as far as they were able to see. They couldn't comprehend it beyond that. So the question for this section is, are you trusting your ability to see? Are you comparing Jesus to things in this world? Maybe a father or a mother? Maybe a political leader? Santa Claus? And I'm not even joking. I used to compare God to Mr. Dress-Up. I loved Mr. Dress-Up. Like when anybody watch his documentary? Does anybody not know who Mr. Dress-Up is? It's a very Canadian, okay, icon. That's fair. Look him up. He actually worked with Mr. Rogers? Yeah, he worked together with Mr. Rogers, and then he came to Canada, became the Canadian Mr. Rogers. Anyway, but I thought, God was always kind and caring, but also he was distant. I couldn't talk to Mr. Dress-Up. He was always there for me. I watched him every day, but I could never really connect with him. These are all maybe could be helpful images to represent God, but they are not who Jesus really is. They are actually far from the reality of Jesus. The reality which is, because Jesus is I am, we say I see. Which brings us to the second point. Jesus is on the move, healing our sight in his time. Just as Jesus heals the man who was blind, Jesus heals Peter, the disciples, and our understanding of him. Now let's go back to the story. In verse 3 it says, and I love this, or verse 23 it says, now look at how kind Jesus is. He took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. And then once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then they were open. Now, can you see how involved Jesus is? Jesus touched him by the hand, led him away. And maybe this is, one to maybe hide his identity because he didn't want to heal people in front, but also he didn't want this guy to be kind of barraged by all these questions, things like that. There's real care there. Now, this could be a two-step miracle. We're not sure exactly why. There's kind of maybe he heals one part of the eyesight and then another. But the main purpose is one to show Jesus care and how he heals this person individually. But also, it was unheard of for a holy man to touch someone with a disability in those days. Someone who was blind was seen as ceremonially unclean because it wasn't the disability itself unclean, but since he was blind, if he stepped on a pile of cow poo, guess what? He's unclean. But he doesn't even know. He's just spreading the unclean everywhere. If he steps on a bug, guess what? He's unclean. And when someone's unclean, they're unable to go into the temple to worship God. So you could guess this person was probably unclean. And probably no one's helping them to get clean due to this ceremonial. So nobody touched them. You could pray for them from afar. You could do all these things. And especially for a teacher of the law, someone involved in the temple like Jesus or synagogues, he could lose his job. He couldn't even go to work if he was unclean. It was risky to touch them. But Jesus takes this to the next level. He holds his hand. He leads them. He spits on their face. Then he touches the spit and moves it all around. Ooh, that's not clean, okay? That's the point. It's not clean. And this is where Jesus' identity becomes very clear. You can write this in your notes. When people touch something unclean, the rule is they become unclean. But when Jesus touches something unclean, it becomes clean. If the other prophets, John, Elijah, all the other messiahs touch an unclean person, they'll become unclean because they would not be able to partake then into the temple of God. But Jesus was someone totally different. It's not as if Jesus was disregarding all the cleanliness laws. He was fulfilling them. He was a source of life, and through him, all people became clean. So when he touched someone, they are able to meet the one true God, closer than even a temple. He was a new Messiah, never seen before. Deuteronomy 8, 15 to 18, there was a prophecy. We're not going to read it, but I encourage you to read it. There's a prophecy of a new Moses was coming. A new prophet like Moses who would speak for God. And Israel is holding on to this prophecy for a Messiah, this new prophet. And they expected that, like Moses, this new Messiah would get rid of the oppression, the colonization that's going on in their land. And they were wanting and waiting for this, but they were seeing trees. They didn't understand who Jesus truly was. And another story of Moses, where he meets God, the special name that God gives to us is I Am. This is the special name to describe who God is. He's the beginning, the end, Alpha and Omega, the A and the Z, the creator, master of the universe. And in light of all that, Jesus asked the disciples two questions. Mark 8, verse 27 says this: what do people say I am? And then, what do you say? What do you say I am? Not every time Jesus says I am refers to the I am of the Old Testament. However, when there's repetition, pay attention. Especially in this context, it makes sense that Jesus is telling them who he truly is. And while they are seeing Messiah, the trees, they can't see who he really is, I am. Now, Pastor Victor, you're going to explain more next week what kind of Messiah Jesus is, how he's to save his people. But we know that Peter did not fully understand this. He was getting closer, but not quite. Maybe that's why Jesus wanted to keep this a secret, because if people were saying, oh, Jesus, the Messiah, they would see only trees, a political hero. It was not until Peter denied Jesus and that Jesus died, rose from the dead, that Peter and the disciples fully understood that Jesus died and rose from the dead because he is I Am. He defeated the greatest oppression. He gave us the ability now to know and see him for who he really is. Because Jesus is I Am, we say I see. And today, Jesus is here right now, holding our hands, leading us, guiding us, showing us who he really is. Even those in the Bible were humble enough to know that they were not seeing the whole picture clearly yet. We will not see Jesus for who he truly is until he comes back to restore everything. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "You can, for now we see through a glass darkly,
But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then when Christ comes, I know even also as I am known. Until Christ comes back, we must not trust our ability to see, but in Jesus who heals and continues to heal our spiritual blindness. Because Jesus is I am, we say I see. Don't trust our own ability to see. Jesus will reveal himself in his time, in his way, the way he wants. Let me just end with a story. Eventually, Black Elk does meet the real Jesus. He reveals himself to his child, Black Elk. And there is a vision he sees of Black Elk, or sees of Jesus. And he says, against a tree, there was a man standing with arms held wide in front of him. I looked hard at him, but I could not tell what people he came from. He was not a Washichu. He was not indigenous. His hair was long, his body was strong, and it was painted red. I tried to recognize him, but I could not make him out. He was very strong. And when I started to stare at him hard, his body began to change and became very beautiful, colors of light, and around him was light. And he spoke like singing, my life is such that all earthly beings and growing things belong to me. Your Father, the Great Spirit, has said this. You too must say this. Then he went out like light in the wind. And Black Elk understood that as Creator's Son, Jesus. So today, I pray that you'll be given visions of who Jesus is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Thank you that you meet us where we're at. You met the Israelites where they're at. You met the blind man where he's at. You met Black Elk and other cultures where they are at. You speak to us in a way which we can understand, relate, and know you. Give us wisdom when we are not seeing you, but images of you we've created. Forgive us and help us, Lord, today to know who you really are, trusting that even though we don't see the whole picture, it's enough to guide us, to strengthen us as we wait for you to return. We pray this in Jesus' name, the one who makes a way forward. Amen.